Imagine waking up, grabbing your phone off the nightstand, and realizing that a polite customer service text you quickly replied to yesterday just, well, handed a hacker the last decade of your encrypted messages.
Yeah, that is literally the nightmare scenario.
Right. Your confidential work conversations, private photos, years of your digital history, just completely gone, unrecoverable.
And you know, the worst part is the encryption didn't even fail.
Exactly. You just handed them the keys. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are pulling from a massive stack of updates from Tika Knight, dated Friday, May 29, 2026.
It's a heavy stack today.
It really is. And the mission for you, the listener, is to understand the absolute whiplash we are experiencing in the tech world right now. We're looking at six explosive stories today, and they all point to one undeniable structural shift.
Right. The era of human-operated technology is basically closing.
Yes. We are watching AI aggressively take the wheel. It's autonomously managing our security, our daily workflows, and even the physical streets outside your window.
And that transition, you know, from a manual tool to an autonomous agent, it's creating this massive friction point. I mean, we are building systems capable of making thousands of decisions a second on our behalf.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. Yet the foundational infrastructure they operate on, and frankly, our own human psychology, is just struggling to keep pace. The tension between machine speed and human latency is defining every major tech narrative this year.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because I promise you, whether you are trying to safeguard your personal data from highly sophisticated social engineering, or maybe you're looking at your stock portfolio wondering why legacy cybersecurity companies are suddenly bleeding value, this deep dive is going to cut through the noise.
We really want to dig into the actual mechanics here.
Right. Deliver those essential aha moments you need.
Because framing all of this is an overarching question we need to evaluate against every source today. Are we adapting our behavior and our infrastructure fast enough to survive the automated systems we're building?
That's the real question.
Yeah, because when the machine moves at the speed of light, human hesitation becomes a critical vulnerability.
So true. Let's jump right into the front lines of that exact tension. So on May 28, Google Cloud launched a platform called Google AI Threat Defense.
Which the industry is treating like a seismic event.
Oh, totally. Google essentially mashed up Gemini, their advanced language model, with Wiz's cloud security posture, Mandiant's threat intelligence, and this automated remediation tool called CodeMender.
Yeah. Quite the lineup.
And the claim here is that it identifies and fixes live vulnerabilities in minutes. Like it actually rewrites and tests the vulnerable code directly in the development environment.
And the market reaction tells you everything you need to know about how viable that claim is. I mean, CrowdStrike stock immediately dropped 3.4%.
Wow. Just off the announcement.
Yep. The entire $50 billion cybersecurity market is looking at an existential threat to its traditional business model.
Because it's too slow.
Exactly. For the last decade, security has relied on manual analysis. A threat triggers an alert in a security operations center. A human analyst reviews the logs, escalates it, and then an engineering team spends days writing and testing a patch.
Right.
But AI-powered malware has completely shattered that timeline. It's compressing the exploit window from days to mere hours. A human analyst physically cannot read logs fast enough to stop an automated intrusion.
Okay, wait, pause. You're telling me Google is letting an AI autonomously rewrite live production code?
Essentially, yes.
Because as a software developer, that terrifies me. Pushing an automated patch that hasn't been vetted by a human engineer, that sounds like a guaranteed way to accidentally break the entire system or just take an application completely offline. How are they bypassing that risk?
Well, so they aren't pushing it blindly to production. That is the genius of the CodeMender integration.
Okay.
When the AI threat defense system detects a vulnerability, it instantly spins up a sandbox digital twin of your specific cloud environment.
Oh, a twin. That makes sense.
Right. It uses Gemini to analyze the flawed logic. It generates the necessary patch and applies it within that sandbox. Then it runs a simulated attack against the twin to verify two things. First, that the exploit is actually neutralized.
Makes sense.
And second, that the application's core functionality hasn't been broken by the new code.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and only after the sandbox simulation passes those automated checks does it deploy the fix to the live environment. And it does all of this computational heavy lifting in the time it takes a human analyst to, you know, sip their coffee and click open the initial alert.
That is insane. Traditional cybersecurity is like a smoke detector, right?
Yeah.
But Google's new system is like a smart sprinkler system that puts out the fire and then automatically rebuilds the burnt wall.
That is a perfect analogy.
But it makes the massive contradiction in our source material absolutely infuriating.
Oh, the Paytail breach?
Yes. The exact same week Google launches this autonomous fortress, we get the UpGuard report on the Paytail data breach.
Yeah, that was rough.
Paytail provides phone services for prisons, and UpGuard researchers found one of their Microsoft Azure cloud servers just sitting on the public internet, completely unauthenticated.
I mean, an exposed Azure server in 2026 is just an astonishing level of negligence. It wasn't a sophisticated brute force attack or some crazy zero-day exploit. The front door was simply taken off the hinges.
Literally no password.
None. And cloud misconfigurations like this are dominating the threat reports this year.
We're talking over 300,000 scanned driver's licenses, passports, and highly sensitive inmate call logs just sitting there for anyone with a web browser to scrape.
It's terrible.
If we have AI capable of sandboxing and patching zero-day vulnerabilities in minutes, why are enterprise companies failing at basic access control?
What's fascinating here is that the sophisticated AI defense layer exists specifically because human administrators are completely unreliable. You can deploy the most advanced autonomous defense network in the world, but if a stressed systems architect accidentally leaves a public blob storage bucket exposed during a routine migration, the entire fortress is bypassed.
It's the human element.
Always.
Yeah.
And we also have to acknowledge the specific demographic devastated by this Paytail breach.
Yeah, the sources highlight that this isn't just your standard credit card leak where you just call the bank and get a new one.
Not at all. The victims here are people using Paytail to communicate with incarcerated family members. This demographic often skews toward lower socioeconomic backgrounds.
Right, people who are already vulnerable.
Exactly. Exposing their high-resolution identity documents makes them prime targets for sophisticated identity theft. And that is a nightmare. They often lack the financial resources or time to fight.
Yeah.
Furthermore, exposing communication logs with inmates carries a profound social stigma. This leaked data can be weaponized in housing applications, employment background checks, custody disputes. The technology didn't fail them. The human operators failed them by neglecting foundational security hygiene.
It's devastating. So attackers are observing this whole landscape, right? They see Google locking down the back-end code with autonomous AI. But attackers are inherently lazy.
Always looking for the easy way in.
Exactly. They are looking for the absolute path of least resistance. They aren't going to spend weeks battering down an AI fortress if they can just text the human standing outside the gates and politely ask for the keys.
Which brings us to the signal phishing campaign.
Yes, this terrifying signal campaign. Here's where it gets really interesting. We rely on complex, military-grade, cryptographic algorithms to secure our most private data. Yet the lock is picked by a polite, fake customer service text.
Yeah, attackers are abandoning the software layer entirely to hack the psychology of the user.
Because Signal is globally recognized as the gold standard for end-to-end encrypted messaging, right?
Right. And the cryptography itself remains completely unbroken.
But the sources detail this coordinated campaign where attackers impersonate Signal support. They message targets claiming there is a, quote, syncing problem. And they warn that their entire backup history is about to be permanently deleted unless they verify their account.
And the mechanism of this attack relies heavily on cognitive overload.
How so?
Well, the attackers aren't just blasting these messages out randomly. They're leveraging old, publicly available data breach lists to cross-reference phone numbers and target specific individuals. They manufacture this artificial sense of extreme urgency.
And if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, I would never fall for a fake customer service text, I want you to really consider the context.
It's never when you're alert and paying attention.
Right. It's late at night, you're tired, and you get an official-looking notification that years of photos, videos, and private conversations with your family are about to be wiped out.
Yeah. When you panic about catastrophic data loss, your amygdala essentially hijacks your brain. Critical thinking shuts down. You stop evaluating the sender's credentials because you just want to resolve the threat.
You just want to fix it.
Exactly. So the attackers provide a helpful link to a fake portal, and the user willingly types in their 64-character recovery key.
And once the attacker has that 64-character key, the consequences are total and immediate.
Oh, game over.
Because Signal's end-to-end encryption means that not even Signal's own servers have a copy of your data. The key is the only thing protecting it. The sources point out that for journalists, dissidents, or corporate executives, handing over that key grants the attacker complete, unmitigated access to their entire encrypted history.
The attacker simply provision a new device with your key and instantly download your entire life.
So what can we actually do?
For you listening, the mitigation strategy requires establishing hard behavioral rules. The golden rule of the platform is that Signal will never, under any circumstances, contact a user in-app to request a PIN/AN, a registration code, or a recovery key. Never. Any message claiming to be Signal support is inherently malicious. Furthermore, your recovery keys must exist outside the digital ecosystem. Storing a 64-character key in your email drafts or a cloud drive defeats the purpose.
Right, because if your cloud gets hacked...
Exactly. They have your key. It needs to be written on physical paper and secured in a physical safe. The AI security layer cannot protect you from your own willingness to hand over the credentials.
It's wild. Cybersecurity has become this incredibly loud, high-stakes arms race where AI is fighting invisible wars in milliseconds. But looking at our next set of sources, AI's role in our daily, visible workflows is moving in the exact opposite direction.
Oh, completely. It isn't trying to be flashy or intrusive.
No, it is actively trying to disappear.
Yeah, the industry term gaining heavy traction right now is ambient intelligence.
So take the Microsoft 365 Copilot redesign rolled out on May 28. Microsoft's press release boasts that it loads 2 times faster with 50% faster response times. But the functional UI changes are what actually caught my eye.
The visual stuff.
Yeah, it is completely minimalist. They stripped out all the vibrant colors, moving to an almost entirely black and white text-forward interface.
They are ruthlessly eliminating visual noise to reduce your cognitive load.
And I was trying to figure out why a black and white interface is suddenly being touted as this massive AI breakthrough. But then I realized it's the difference between having a GPS that violently interrupts your music to scream, "Turn left now," versus having a steering wheel that just gently vibrates against your left palm to guide you.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Copilot is moving from a cognitive interruption to an intuitive extension of your workflow.
And the design philosophy driving this is called progressive disclosure. The interface remains deliberately stark and only surfaces specific tools or buttons at the exact millisecond the system anticipates you need them.
So it's not constantly in your face.
Right. A clunky chatbot that takes 5 seconds to load and clutters your screen with colorful suggestions forces you to task switch. It breaks your concentration. By accelerating the load times and stripping the visual interface down to the bare essentials, Copilot stops feeling like a separate application you were consulting.
It just becomes part of your thought process.
Exactly. It starts feeling like a natural, ambient layer of your own mind.
And the technical mechanics backing up that philosophy are wild. They introduced features called the dynamic action button and throw and catch. This is where the integration gets deeply embedded.
Throw and catch is brilliant.
It really is. You can be drafting a complex proposal in a Word document, and you essentially throw a data set across the Microsoft suite. Copilot maintains the exact context of your formatting, the semantic meaning of the data, your specific end goal, catching it seamlessly in Excel to build a pivot table, and then pushing those insights directly into a PowerPoint slide.
And the mechanism allowing that seamless transition is the Microsoft Graph API, which maps the relationships between all your data objects in real time.
Yeah.
Copilot isn't just copying and pasting text.
Right.
It is holding the conceptual intent of your project in its context window as you move between applications. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it explains the underlying strategy of Apple's latest moves as well.
Ah, the iOS beta.
Right. On the exact same day, Apple dropped the iOS 26.6 public beta, and tech journalists immediately noted how unremarkable it is.
I mean, the changelog reads like an afterthought. You get an alert when you hit your blocked context limit, some minor rendering tweaks in Apple Maps, routine security patches. It really feels like they're deliberately stalling.
Because they are clearing the deck. This beta is purely a placeholder leading up to the Worldwide Developers Conference on June 8th. The entire industry expects WWDC 2026 to be the launchpad for iOS 27.
Which is supposed to be huge.
Oh, massive. It's slated to fundamentally rewrite the operating system around on-device ambient AI processing. Apple's remarkably quiet beta and Microsoft's stark, minimalist redesign are two giant indicators of the exact same trend.
They're converging.
Yes. The tech monoliths have realized that the future of AI is not a discrete app you open. It is the invisible, predictive operating system running silently beneath every single digital interaction.
It has to disappear completely to be truly useful.
Exactly.
But, you know, slipping conceptual data across spreadsheet applications is one thing. The stakes there are essentially just a mangled presentation. It is an entirely different reality when that autonomous intelligence is attempting to navigate physical streets in a 2-ton vehicle.
Yeah, the physical world is much less forgiving than an Excel sheet.
Completely. And this is where the Tick and Knight sources deliver a massive reality check. The official data coming out of Texas completely shatters the dominant narrative regarding who is actually winning the autonomous driving race.
The discrepancy between the market's perception of autonomous leadership and the ground truth in Texas is stark. It's undeniable.
Let's look at the official Texas DMV records released on May 28, 2026. This is under their new Autonomous Vehicle Authorization Program. Waymo, which is the subsidiary of Alphabet, currently has 577 authorized robotaxis operating on Texas roads,
which give them a 59.1% market share.
Huge. In second place, holding 317 vehicles, is a relatively under-the-radar startup named Avreed.
Yep.
And sitting all the way down in third place is Tesla, with just 42 vehicles. Zoox follows them with 35.
Tesla has 42 authorized vehicles in the entire state.
So what does this all mean? Because Elon Musk has repeatedly promised fleets of 1,000 robotaxis operating in Texas alone, and they are currently sitting at 4.2% of that stated goal.
It's a massive shortfall.
It is. For years, retail investors and institutional analysts have justified Tesla's massive valuation premiums based almost entirely on this robo-taxi potential. The grand narrative was that your personal vehicle would autonomously generate passive income while you slept.
Right, the robo-fleet.
But they are trailing Waymo by an insurmountable margin, and they are getting beaten handily by Avreed.
This raises an important question about the fundamental architectural differences between supervised assisted driving systems and true unsupervised autonomous driving.
Okay, break that down for us.
To understand why Tesla is trailing so heavily, we have to impartially analyze four distinct hurdles that define deployment in the physical world. Because it's not a matter of simply pushing a better software update over the air.
Right, it's not an app on your phone. Let's break down the mechanics of those four hurdles, starting with the core technology approach.
Okay, so Waymo relies on a complex sensor fusion approach. They utilize advanced LiDAR systems.
That's the spinning thing on top of the cars, right?
Yeah, exactly. It continuously bounces millions of laser pulses off the environment to generate these highly precise, millimeter-accurate 3D point clouds of the city. And this is combined with radar and traditional cameras. Tesla, on the other hand, has vehemently rejected LiDAR. They rely entirely on a pure machine vision approach. They use standard 2D cameras and train neural networks to infer depth and distance, essentially attempting to mimic human biological sight.
Which sounds incredibly difficult.
It is. While pure vision is vastly cheaper to manufacture, it struggles immensely with edge cases like severe sun glare, heavy precipitation, or ambiguous depth perception. In those situations, a 3D LiDAR laser would instantly confirm the presence of a physical obstacle.
It's the difference between trying to navigate a complex room by squinting through a foggy window versus having a mathematically perfect 3D blueprint of the room beamed directly into your brain 10 times a second.
That's a great way to visualize it.
The second hurdle the sources highlight is regulatory approval.
Yeah, deploying heavy machinery on public roads requires intense bureaucratic friction. You can't avoid it. Waymo has spent over a decade painstakingly building relationships with local city councils, integrating their protocols with first responders, and just proving their safety metrics to secure municipal permits. Tesla has historically adopted a much more adversarial approach with regulatory bodies. But you cannot legally deploy 1,000 autonomous vehicles without the explicit, documented consent of the government, regardless of how confident you are in your software.
You can't just bypass the Department of Transportation with an over-the-air patch.
No, you absolutely cannot.
So the third hurdle focuses on the actual business model of the fleets.
Right, so Waymo operates a centrally managed, dedicated fleet. They own the vehicles, they handle the maintenance, clean the sensors daily, and they control every operational variable.
It's controlled.
Highly controlled. Tesla's proposed model relies on individual consumers offering their personal cars up to a decentralized network.
Oh, wow. So the insurance liability.
The insurance liabilities, the legal frameworks for accident fault, and just the logistical nightmare of maintaining sensor calibration on thousands of privately owned vehicles, it represents an entirely unproven business model at scale.
That sounds like a mess. And the final hurdle is pure operational experience in an unsupervised environment.
Yes. Tesla supporters constantly point to their millions of miles of full self-driving data. But that FSD data fundamentally requires a human sitting in the driver's seat, ready to instantly take over when the system hesitates.
So it's not really autonomous.
Right. Waymo has accumulated millions of miles of genuine, fully autonomous driving where the driver's seat is physically empty. Crossing the chasm from an assisted driver to an empty seat requires overcoming physical, legal, and hardware realities that Waymo has been methodically grinding away at for years, while others just focused on software promises.
So we are seeing the immense difficulty of manifesting digital intelligence in the physical world.
Very much so.
Synthesizing everything we've pulled from this May 29th stack, a very clear, cohesive picture of our immediate future emerges. In the cybersecurity realm, Google's threat defense proves that the sheer velocity of modern attacks demands autonomous AI that can sandbox and rewrite code in minutes. Human reaction time is officially obsolete at the infrastructure layer.
Totally obsolete.
Yet, the Paytel Azure breach is a glaring reminder that human negligence remains the ultimate backdoor, bypassing brilliant defense systems and inflicting real-world harm on vulnerable demographics.
Yeah, and when the infrastructure becomes impenetrable, the attack surface shifts entirely to the human mind. The signal phishing campaigns demonstrate that our most advanced cryptographic math is completely useless if a hacker can socially engineer our amygdala. They utilize fear and urgency to make us willingly hand over the decryption keys.
While AI loudly fights those high-stakes security battles, companies like Microsoft and Apple are racing to make AI completely invisible in our workflows. They're utilizing progressive disclosure and ambient intelligence to weave these tools directly into the operating system.
Right. Aiming to lower our cognitive load rather than constantly demanding our attention.
And finally, the Texas DMV data provides a sobering reality check on the limits of digital intelligence. The shift toward physical automation on our roads is heavily bottlenecked by hardware limitations, municipal regulations, and operational logistics.
Waymo's dominance really proves that respecting the constraints of the physical world yields results, while relying purely on the promise of software updates leaves you trailing behind. Technology is aggressively demanding rapid adaptation from all of us on every single front.
And that is exactly why digging into these sources matters for you. Understanding these underlying mechanisms isn't just about keeping up with tech news. It is the tactical knowledge you need to protect your personal data when that perfectly crafted phishing text hits your phone.
Exactly.
It's understanding how to leverage invisible AI workflows to accelerate your own career instead of fighting against clunky interfaces. And most importantly, it's about developing the critical lens required to see past the massive hype cycles of the tech industry, allowing you to identify who is actually engineering the future and who is just selling a narrative.
The autonomous systems are coming online. Our responsibility is to understand the rules and constraints they operate under before we hand over the keys.
Which leaves me with one final thought I want you to mull over today. We've examined how AI is now autonomously sandboxing, writing, and testing its own digital code to fix vulnerabilities in minutes. And we've seen autonomous systems successfully navigating the chaotic physical reality of Texas roads using complex sensor fusion. If AI is already getting this incredibly adept at analyzing and repairing its digital self, and it's mastering navigation of our physical environments, well, what happens when these autonomous systems decide to start redesigning and manufacturing their own physical hardware without us? That's it for today's deep dive. Keep questioning the systems running the world around you, and we'll catch you next time.